Amakhosi asendlunkulu present. Mayors and councillors of municipalities, DG, the head of departments, senior officials, members of media, the citizens of KwaZulu-Natal, ladies and gentlemen. House Chair, we are honored to table the budget vote 11 of the Department of Corporate Governance and National Affairs in our capacity as the executive authority of the department. We must state at the outset, House Chair, that this is the budget vote. It is inspired by the manifesto of the ruling party, the African National Congress, which challenged us to usher at the era of renewal. This is an opportunity, as the manifesto put it, to restore our democratic institution and return our country to the path of transformation, growth and development. It is also inspired by the spirit of reform and positive policy directions, as outlined by His Excellency President Cyril Ramaphosa in his State of the National Address, and by the Honourable Premier Sihle Zikalala in his State of the Provincial Address. We are honoured to be presenting this budget vote for the Department of Corporate Governance and National Affairs during the month of July, which is the historic significance to activists and prominent of social change in our country and at the world at large. During this month, we commemorate the triumph of the Cuban Revolution. A few days ago, we have also celebrated the birthday of the first President of the Republic, President Hosehlahla Nelson Mandela. We therefore, as we stand on this pedestal today, draw inspiration from the gallant freedom fighters' determination to need and the destiny that is intricately linked to the destiny of the oppressors, of the oppressed masses. As we embark on this journey to reposition our system of local government to grow South Africa, we are inspired by our icons' ways, open quote, overcoming poverty is not a gesture of charity. It is an act of justice. It is a protection of fundamental human rights, the right of dignity and decent life. While poverty persists, there is no true freedom, close quote. House Chair, this is our maiden budget speech. We would like to preface our remarks by thanking the party we belong to, the African National Congress, for providing us with the political guidance and trusting us on the position and responsibility. To the Honourable Premier, Honourable Sihle Zikalala, cousin, thank you for the confidence that we have shown in appointing me in this providing the crucial and important portfolio of corporate governance and national affairs. The warm welcome that we have received from Amakhosi, led by His Majesty the King and the councillors and all the full soldiers in the sector of local government, has been truly humbling. It is also fitting, House Chair, to thank all those who send the congratulatory messages and express their wishes for us to succeed. This includes many political and community-based formations, including many honourable members of this August House. We promise to do our best to not fail our people. House Chair, my predecessor, Madam House Chairperson, Honourable Nomusa Dube, laid a solid foundation for re-engineering of the department to fulfil its mandate of building the resilient local government institution and coordinating government service delivery program. We will continue to build on the foundation. We are at the advantage of having an impressive body of knowledge from which to learn. We are also fortunate that we benefit from the firm legislative and policy groundwork laid by the many members of this House across the political party divide. House Chair, before we outline our new vision and the perspective behind it, let us start by reflecting on the performance of the previous financial year. On the back-to-basic achievement, House Chairperson, the back-to-basic program was launched with the understanding and appreciation of the fact that getting the basic right was important if the sphere of local government was to get the bigger things, like receiving the clean audit, spending money wisely, fast-tracking the infrastructure. We have supported 54 municipalities in improving their spatial development framework to ensure alignment with their respective integrated development plan under the Small Town Reparation and Corridor Development Program. We have invested in the development of infrastructure which promotes local economic development. Among our achievements is instead 18 million for Amaphumulo taxi rank. The grant funding of 40.8 million was invested in the following beneficiary municipalities: Richmond, Mhlabeyalingana, Dumbe, Inkosi Langalibalele, Buhlebezwe, Kwadukuza, Umvoti and Ilembe. The total of 45,255 work opportunities were created through the community work program, and 35,000 beneficiaries are women and 11,000 are young people. 1,740 job opportunities were created through EPWP, and 1,240 are women and 853 are young people. The total of 1,027 councillors and 221 municipal officials were capacitated through the aid program rolled out by the department. House Chair, we have established a forum of AMAKOSI and members of Executive Council. This intergovernmental relations forum is a provincial consultative forum aimed at promoting and strengthening facilitating effective and efficient communication between the province and its traditional leaders. In the past financial year, we have developed the four new community service centers at Amahlubi, Bergville, Bulwa, and Wambonambi. We'll continue to support the institution of traditional leaders in improving the improvement of the working condition of AMAKOSI through infrastructure rehabilitation, especially focusing on imizi yezizwe and the traditional administrative centers. We've operationalized Imbube Cultural Village in Zululand with a budget of 17 million. House Chairperson, our new vision as a department, we reposition the local government. We have internalized the directive from the board SONA and SOPA, and we now stand here to present in this August House our plan of action that will define the sixth administration's response in repositioning the local government to strive growth and development of our country and the province. We have to respond faster to the injunction by His Excellency President Cyril Ramaphosa, who charged, open quote, "We need to fundamentally transform where our people live by growing sustainable and inclusive communities at local level," close quote. The Premier in his State of the Province address similarly enjoined us with a speedy attend to the grimy restraint in local government that hinder us from achieving the prosperity in KwaZulu-Natal. House Chairperson, as we begin crafting the 2019-2024 vision to reposition local government, we are guided by the wise ways of the celebrated author, Ben Okrim, who remind us that, open quote, "If the things we face are greater and more important than the things we refuse to face, then at least we have to begin to re-evaluation of our world. At least we have to begin to learn to see and live again. But if we refuse to face any of our acquired and deepest truth, then sooner or later, we are going to have to become deaf or blind. And then eventually, we are going to have silence of dreams and the dreams of others. In other words, we die, and we die in life," close quote. In this new approach of repositioning local government, honorable members, who are candid and owning on our acquired and deepest truth, we are fully cognizant of the reality that things we refuse to face become the monster in our sleep, and eventually the silence of dreams of the better life for our people. It is important that we explain, for the benefit of the oral members, our policy context within our plan of action. On the current state of local government, Honorable Chairperson, local government is a crucial site of democracy, service delivery, and development. It is our major barometer of success, of transformation. Yet, during the past 19 years, the sphere of local government has become a source of concern for many of our society. No sphere of government has battled with establishment challenges more than it's been the case with our municipalities. A number of interventions has been implemented, including, among others, Project Consolidate, Siyazamanje, and the most recent one is Back to Basic. These interventions, Honorable Chair, have been a limited progress. Looking at the balance sheet, we have noticed that the pattern of municipal performance is a mixed bag. We have in the what it constitutes our state of local government, what English author Charles would call a tailor of two cities. The best of time is that there are few pockets of excellence, such as Okatamba Municipality, which for the 5 years in a row has been a flying provincial flag high as our clean audit star. Also, Kokstad and Tannhauser, which now have electricity in every ward. We also have our worst of times, in that many of our municipalities are still far from reaching a sustainability phase. To refresh the memory of honorable members, when it was constitutionalized, the sphere of local government was expected to undergo three transformation phases, namely establishment phase, which saw the introduction of the wall-to-wall democratic local government in the year of 2000, then the consolidation phase, which is a period of hands-on and intensive capacity support by the province and the national government envisaged to ultimately culminate to the sustainability phase, where local government is fully functional, effective, and developmentally on its own. The final phase of sustainability has proven to be the most challenging one, as the municipalities have regressed to instability immediately when the intervention intended to help them were terminated. This state of affairs has not only eroded the confidence of the citizen in the sphere of local government, but it has further derailed the dream of many poor communities who celebrated the watershed moment in 2000 of having the wall-to-wall system of local government, which generated hope of destiny possibility for them to realize for the first time a better life for all. The assessment of state of local government, House Chairperson, to begin the process to change the state of affairs, and in the process of the Primat directive that we must make local government work better for our people, we have hit the ground running, and we have, in partnership with Provincial Treasurer, undertaken an initiative where we carry out a comprehensive assessment of the state of the local government. This process is characterized by the engagement of mayors, councillors, speaker, the MM, and others, and senior officials and other stakeholders. Team up of the officials from Provincial Coctum visited all the municipalities and interrogated the key focal areas such as governance, financial health, and service delivery, to mention but few, House Chairperson. This exercise, we must confess, honorable members, has opened the eyes of many of us and exposed us on the magnitude of the task that lies us ahead. On the outcome of the assessment, House Chairperson, it revealed a range of persistent challenges. These include, but not limited to, the political and administrative interference, weak, if not dysfunctional, oversight structure, lack of accountability, weak and non-existent public participation, poor service delivery, and lack of consequence management. Indeed, there are many internal dynamics, some inflated as some of the external factors that hamper the effective functioning of our municipalities. In this regard, House Chairperson, each municipality will be required to develop a specific base action plan with clear milestones and clear timelines for consideration by the department and monitoring towards the implementation of it. On the political administrative stability, the inter-party tensions, House Chairperson, instead in municipalities where there is inter-party tension, particularly within the executive committees, have a negative effect in decision-making process and swifty and effective decision on critical matters become delayed. In about 13 municipalities, we found a demographic evidence of poor oversight, weak oversight. Some officials seem to be aligned with certain councillors. This then divides the administration and affects the governance and proper functioning of the municipalities. In many of these municipalities, an allegation I read that councillors are interfering in administration and, as a consequence, and encouraging insupportation. To address this, we'll be meeting with political parties that are in the majority in these municipalities to present the specific challenges in this regard. This is a challenge that we must address by political parties. It cannot be outsourced through culture. On our side, we will, however, Honorable Chairperson, intensify the investigation on fraud, corruption, and maladministration where applicable. We also found the Municipal Public Account Committee are ineffective in dealing with the critical issues such as investigation, consequence management, and compliance arising from the report of unauthorized, irregular, fruitless, wasteful expenditure and Auditor General reports. Honorable members, during this exercise, we established a total number of 68 councillors were employed in government, especially in the area of health and education. All the provincial departments confirmed that authority of remuneration work outside the public service was granted. However, this is a matter of all of us, and especially the political home of councillors should thoroughly reflect upon. These are the councillors who work in what we call priority areas, health and education, but they also serve in the most demanding and critical sphere of local government. The question we need to ask, are they not being overburdened, or are they not critical sector being compromised here, or how critical is to work they do in education and health, or when do they have time to attend to council meetings and respond ever to the pressing community issues? These are the questions that we are flagging for you to ponder, honorable members, because we need a collective solution. As we have indicated, Honorable Chair, that we these matters need they don't need to be outsourced. Honorable Chair, we have found evidence of poor and dysfunctional intergovernmental relations structures. The third outcome is that alignment and implementation of IDP, SDIP, budget and business plan are not monitored at this forum. This is not only a challenge at the political level, but also at the sub-technical level. If the tone is not set from the top, the cancer will spread throughout the entire body. This needs to be changed, Honorable Chairperson. Or remember, yes, it has been a great concern to observe the sign indicated that consequence management, it is not a priority in municipalities. Some of the municipalities have not completed the disciplinary processes against the implicated senior management within the reasonable period. In some cases, administrators with questionable integrity jump a ship only to be promoted to another municipality. We will look in tightening the regulation governing the appointment of senior management to prevent managers from resigning before the completion of their disciplinary inquiry in order to avoid sanctions. Once forensic reports are tabled in municipalities and council are required to implement recommendations therein, we often find very little appetite to ensure a fully accountability. Some municipalities engage in vigorous and expensive litigation in order to prolong acting on wrongdoing, while others simply report cases as a compliance issue and later do not cooperate with SAPS and NPA to successfully investigate offences. In some instances, sanctions imposed to disciplinary inquiries at the lenient compared to the offence committed. We will, in this regard, propose the amendment through the National Department of Culture. Honorable Chairperson, we have noted that some councils still resist to acknowledge the role of traditional leaders in local governance, despite the existing regulatory framework being precise in this area. To address the state of the affairs, will vigorously implement the principle of Section 81 of Municipal Systems Act. We have in KwaZulu-Natal a total of 1,846 councillors. We are pleased to report that some councillors have doctorate, master's degrees, diplomas, and some other qualification. We've championed in our partnership with SALCA various capacity intervention. We'll continue to capacitate councillors on finance, budget, and technical skills. Honourable Chair, together with Provincial Treasurer, we'll also conduct a detailed assessment on the financial health of municipalities. We need to finger our pulse of the challenges in order to offer the relevant prescriptions. We have noted a concern, for instance, that over 20 municipalities have tabled draft unfunded budget for 1920 financial year. In some cases, draft budget were projected as funded, and the final budget was unfunded. This is a serious red flag for us as COCTA. The total of 31 municipalities need urgent attention as they clear candidate for mandatory provincial intervention. House Chairperson, in consultation with the Honourable MEC of Finance, we will engage the national government on the funding model current in use for local government, the formula used to determine the share of equitable revenue to be allocated to each municipality had not been reviewed for a number of years. Smaller rural municipalities are finding it increasingly difficult to maintain a financial viability under the current formula. We have scrutinized the book of municipalities, the debt book of the municipalities. We have found that consumers of KwaZulu-Natal own the municipalities a total of 20.1 billion. In outstanding debts, our households own 76, businesses own 14%, government own 8%, including Ngonyama Trust land rate debts. An analysis of debts at the end of March 2019, it related to Ngonyama Trust land, indicated that 535,437,000 was owned to 21 municipalities in the province, and it should be noted that only 28 municipalities are rated ITP property in terms of the municipal property rate policies, and that of the 44 municipalities rating properties, 6 do not have ITP land, namely Madlangeni, Indumeni, Greater Kostad, Kaduguza, Mbofana, Mzimkhulu municipalities. Mbofana, Newcastle, Ulundi, Abaqulusi have also defaulted on the debt of payment agreement with Eskom. Eskom has since produced with the PAJA process in respect of Mbofana. It is threatening to do the same with Ulundi and Newcastle. Mbofana has had to seek temporary relief in court to prevent power interrupted for now. It is clear we all need to go out and mobilize our communities to pay for the electricity they use. Honorable Chairperson, as at the end of May 2019, our municipalities have reported a total of 4.3 billion in irregular, fruitless, and wasteful expenditure. Although the value of money was obtained in most instances, we still to turn this situation around. The good news, Honorable Chairperson, is that we now have a legal precedent where the coastal sentence has been imposed by the Western Cape High Court on the former municipal manager for offence relating to irregular expenditure. The municipal manager was found have deliberately failed to implement his municipality's SCM policy by not taking a reasonable step to prevent irregular expenditure. This certain adds bite to the provision contained in the MFMA. On the water issue, Honorable Chair, we concur with the Honorable Premier that the issue of water in KwaZulu-Natal warrants an urgent attention. especially in the light of our growing population, and on the quest of the growth, grow the provincial economy and job for our people. In the response of SOPA directive, in this regard, Honorable Chair, we have in the few weeks in the office, we have met the National Minister of Human Settlement, Water and Sanitation, Honorable Lindiwe Sisulu, and Minister of Energy, Honorable Gwede Mantashe. We put forward the case for KwaZulu-Natal, and Minister Sisulu organized a follow-up meeting where she co-opted the water board and the team from the national official to work with COCTA to deal with the issue of water. We can report that we are putting in place the implementation plan to address water and sanitation issues in KwaZulu-Natal. To this effect, we have commissioned an analysis on the backlog, and today we are happy to announce the team of experts to assist us in this regard. The team will be led by the DDG of the Department of Human Settlement and Water and Sanitation, including experts from the Water Board and the Provincial Planning Commission. The terms of reference, Honorable Chairperson, have already developed. Honorable Chair, the over-reliance on water tankers is not sustainable. Water tankers should only be considered in the emergency. It should not replace our original plan to deliver infrastructure for sustainable water provision. We are investigating the abuse of water tanker system by some municipalities. At some time, we'll attend speedily on the project delay, especially we observe the increasing trends of induced delay in the municipalities. Our main focus is on the 16 municipalities that are underspending on the infrastructure grant. We want to sustain a provincial record of being number one in MIG spending. The question that we need to ask, what is to be done, Honorable Chairperson? Having diagnosed the green challenge that restrains the performance and sustainability of our sphere of local government, Lenin would have asked a question, what is to be done? A philosopher once posited that, open quote, every revolution is the consequence of one revolution and the beginning of another, close quote. We respond, Honorable Chair, by indicating that we have returned our system of local government to the path that transforms growth and develops our communities faster. For now, henceforth, we have unleashed the new revolution of revitalize the sphere of local government to achieve elusive phase of sustainability. This requires that we take a serious, difficult, and unpopular decisions. Indeed, we have to be bold and be decisive. If need be, we have to be with the sphere of local government of the branches that do not bear fruit or risk weakening the strategy arm of our governance. Honorable Chairperson, we have a support of the Almighty in this regard. For in the book of John 15, verse 1, he say, open quote, I am a true vine, and my Father is a vine dresser. Every branch in me does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does not bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit, close quote. House Chair, we need to respond as we are in the state of emergency. Collectively, the provincial and national government, as well as the political parties that are home and leaders in local government, must admit to the shortcoming. We all accept the criticism of our people and work harder on correct our mistake. I repeat, it need be. Open quote, every branch does not bear fruit. Official councillors and mayors and speakers, he takes away. Every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes. That is may bear more fruits. Close quotes. Madam, Host Chairperson, we have interpreted the challenges, and the question is how to mend them. On the role of COCTA to support municipalities, notwithstanding the achievement we have made, we want to sweep our backyard as the demand of COCTA. We do shoulder some level of responsibility for some of these challenges. With the benefit on his side, we accept that we should have been more proactive and hands-on, and we should have raised our red flag early. As part of response plan, we will evaluate efficiency, efficacy of our support to municipalities. We're training our intervention mechanism by ensuring that we are quick and high impact result. House Chairperson, 2019-2024, term of office is the time for less talk, but more action, and we're determined to make things happen. We have committed to prioritize youth employment and improving local government service delivery. We intend to implement a graduate internship program targeting 500 youth graduates to be deployed in our municipalities. The projected budget in 60 million over the two years, allocation of 35% of the departmental procurement budget to SMEs, cooperatives, township, rural enterprise, and people with disability will be implemented with determination henceforth. We will provide more hands-on support to the 9 municipalities currently under intervention. The developments in Echewini, Zululand, and Newcastle municipalities are also receiving our special attention. We're looking closely to those municipalities that are candidates for provincial mandatory intervention. We have 33 municipalities that receive unqualified audit outcome. We now want to do our best to support these municipalities in to ensure that there is no regression, rather to assist them to achieve clean audits. Those who, with adverse and disclaimer opinion, will receive intensive support. There are no room for disclaimer and adverse opinion in this province. We hope and pray that when we return in this house, we will be singing from one different home tune on the audit narrative. House Chairperson, under expenditure will be closely monitored, and no service delivery money should ever again return to national fiscal as because of the poor planning and implementation. We have already commenced with the process of preparing 2021 local government election. To this end, we are engaging the Municipality Demarcation Board on the boundary delimitations. House Chairperson, we have tabled several forensic investigations before the Municipal Council. By law, we have been received a remedial action. Some transgressions are too serious to be ignored. We are exploring the option of invoking section of the law that will allow us to intervene with the view of getting recommendation contained with this report implemented. The President and the Premier have issued a clear call for citizens to pay for the municipal services. The challenges of power cuts that are hungering over of our municipalities are due to citizens' culture of non-payment for services. Clearly, people cannot use and not pay electricity because the municipalities buy electricity. We will embark on the aggressive campaign, similar to the massacre campaign of 1994, to educate and inform and create awareness to our people about the need to pay for the services that they receive from the municipalities. In response to concerns about the slow pace of service delivery, we will launch Operation Kauleza, Hurry Up Service Delivery. Members will recall, during the election campaign, as we crisscrossed the length and the breadth of the province, the key areas concerned including poor road maintenance, state of cleanliness, dysfunctional of water scheme, poor housing delivery, poor access to electricity. As an immediate response, we have procured the heavy duty equipment at the cost of 160 million that will transfer to selected municipalities on the basis of needs. Operational Kauleza will utilize this equipment to fix potholes, maintain roads, and other services to ensure that our people, to ensure that we inspire our citizens to regain their confidence in government. House Chairperson, you will notice a new shift in our approach and a dedicated focus on local government as our core function. IGR is a game changer as COGTA. We are concerned about the time of our local government has taken to stabilize and become sustainable. We are setting up a service delivery war room to respond to all the key focal areas and findings during the assessment. This war room will comprise of all departments that deliver services to the municipalities. Honorable Chair, we want to assure this AUKUS House that we will have a new vigor and determination to address a long-standing abnormal of undermining municipal IDP. It is a time that we move beyond the theory toward practice and walk the talk. When we say the IDP is our pipeline of implementation as government, the IDPs have to be incorporated to what will be implemented by other spheres of government in the municipal spaces. We will, in August, as we commemorate the 57th anniversary of the former President Nelson Rolihlahla Mandela's arrest, officially open the new State of Art Mandela Museum. We hope honorable members, Premier and the President will grace us with their presence. This is a site of great significance for the world at large, for it to serve as the launching pad of our liberation. We also want to invite members to participate in the Mandela Marathon, as the MEC for COGTA will also participate in the Mandela Marathon. We support the provincial government and Umgungundlovu district. This third edition will take place on the 24th-25th August. We will immediately attend to the issue of functionality of our disaster management center. We are concerned on the structure that we have built have not been adequately equipped and resourced to respond faster to the local disaster incidents. House Chairperson, the institution of traditional leadership remain our bedrock on which our democracy is founded. The democratic development state cannot be successful without working with the institution of traditional leaders. We say all this because traditional leaders continue to play an important role in the development of our communities. As reflected through this budget, we will continue our unwavering support to the development of this institution. In order to offer the correct and appropriate the relevant support to AMACOSI, we will undertake the comprehensive assessment of the state of the institution, including the traditional council, local house, and provincial house of traditional leaders. House Chairperson and honorable members, all things being equally, we'll also be hosting the traditional council election in December 2019 to ensure that our traditional council are reconstituted in terms of law. In every we do in this regard, we will be working with Indlunkulu yakithi nesakhiwo samakhosi sonke. We will continue rolling out the program to build and improve the capacity of AMACOSI to better execute their duties in serving their traditional communities. We will do this by applying the capacity building strategy that will have developed and adapted for AMACOSI. Honorable Chairperson, we have a budget set aside at the amount of 80 million for the annual increment of in salaries of izinduna as per the required by legislative provision. Ngokulawulwa imiyalelo yendlunkulu nesakhiwo sobukhosi, sizoqhubeka nomsebenzi ebalulekile yokulekelela isilo samabandla onke ekwenzeni umsebenzi ongenziwa yimbube kuphela ngokosiko wokugcoba amakhosi kanye nemikhosi yokuthela amanzi. House Chairperson, on budget per program, the department has been allocated the budget of 1.8 billion for 2019-2020 financial year, and is allocated as follows, House Chairperson. On Program 1, Administration, 444,255,000. On Program 2, on local government, 341,797,000. On Program 3, Development Planning, 443,428,000. On Program 4, 595,399,000. 595,399,000. In conclusion, House Chairperson, we can no longer continue to pittering, running up down, but not going anywhere in permanently addressing the challenges of local government and sacrosanct institution of traditional leaders. We have to change course. Someone once said, open quote, a bend in the road is not the end of the road unless you fail to make a turn, close quote. In this sixth administration, we are determined to make a turn. It will be a hard road to travel and will bear a lot of heat and criticism along the way. We commit never to be intolerant of it, even though we know the consequences. It's not necessary to carry the truth or wisdom. We want to be decisive to make an impact in local government rather than mere crowd pleasers. They say that, open quote, a ship is safe when it's in the harbor, close quote, but that's not what the ship are for. We have a mandate. We plan to discharge without fear or favor. The movement have assigned us this task. Yes, we have a mandate. This task to expect result, and it has confidence that in this task we can manage. We pray for no lighter burden, but a broader shoulders. Honorable members, we remain our devoted students. Even during the difficult times, we can always count on your support on this August House. irrespective of our different political position we held in various parties, we want to thank the African National Congress once more, and we commit to live up to the mandate we have been given. We extend our heartfelt gratitude to the portfolio committee members of on corporate governance and traditional affairs, led by the Honorable Chairperson Ricardo Mthembu, for their wise and counsel support. We extend our appreciation to my colleague in the Executive Council, led by Honorable Prima Kuzin. Our way graduate to also to the head of department, Mr. Thando Tubane, and the entire COCTA staff. We say to them, continue to push the boundaries of excellence. Siyabonga, sisilo samabandla onke namakhosi izinduna ngobambisana sizoqhubeka siye phambili. Our special thanks go to my family, my parents, especially my beautiful wife and the kids that I love so much, one wife, for the support and the love that they have given to me. I thank you.
Thank you for a wonderful presentation. Can we settle?